Hey, it's Greg with another bite-sized Wise episode. You know, as we relaunched the podcast, one of the first things I did was to go over the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. And recently I picked up a copy of the Dhammapada, or Teachings of the Buddha. Another way to look at that word is Path to Truth. And I've got a copy that was translated by, let me get his name right, Eknath Aswaran, who founded the Blue Mountain Center of Meditation in Berkeley, California, way back in the early 1960s. And his translation of the Dhammapada is considered one of the best. And in the foreword that he wrote, he says, "We spend our days in the familiar world of our five senses, but what lies beyond that, if anything, we have no idea." And I really like that, because one of the things that I learned about as I started scratching the surface on trying to understand Buddhist thought and Buddhist practice, one of the things I began to understand is, especially in the Mahayana school, the idea of the true nature of reality is that we eventually come to understand on the deepest, most soul-connected level, if we even want to acknowledge that there's a soul. And honestly, the goal is to acknowledge that there's not. But in the way my mind works, I am still going to acknowledge a soul, and that soul being a unique creation of God that made me who I am. And the idea is to understand that there is nothing that has its own meaning. In other words, everything around us is neutral, and we assign it the meaning that we want to assign it, whether we consciously do that or subconsciously or unconsciously do that. We assign it the meaning in the moment. In other words, it's empty. It's void of any natural inherent value or meaning, and it's only the meaning we give to an object that determines whether it's valuable or not. I mean, think back to a few hundred years ago when beads and shells were treated as money. And some of the people who had collections of those beads and shells considered that they had, you know, piles and piles and piles of something with a lot of value, and others could not have cared less because they were just piles of beads and shells. And for me, that's a great example of the idea that nothing has its own meaning. It only has the meaning that we assign. So the shells to the creature that used to live in that shell, maybe it was a clam shell, or maybe it was a scallop shell, or maybe it was a snail shell or something like that. But to the animal that used to live in that shell meant everything, because that shell was a home, and that shell was a protection, and that shell guarded that creature. But eventually the creature died, and the shell just became, well, for lack of a better term, just became an empty shell. And then later, something else was used as money because someone else determined that it was of incredible value. I've even heard an anthropologist lately suggest in his own theory that some of the ancient civilizations did not make statues and beautiful artwork out of gold because they valued that metal for any specific thing other than it was soft and malleable and easy to work with in order to create their sculptures or their tools, or, you know, in the case of Egyptian mummies, for example, the death mask. This one anthropologist now suggests that it's not, in his opinion, it's not even likely that the ancients considered gold valuable. It's that it was soft and malleable and easy to melt and easy to work with as a metal worker. So that, whereas now we would consider gold kind of a precious metal, and, you know, to be, many people even say that gold is the kind of thing you want to use as you kind of want to get as much gold as you can get a hold of and hold on to it to help yourself kind of protect against monetary inflation, because gold is inherently valuable. But that statement on the surface is not really true. That gold is inherently valuable to that person, not because it's inherently valuable, but because they have decided that they place a high value on gold. So turning away from shells and beads and gold, when you look around you, what do you see that you have placed a very high value on? Is it maybe your TV or your electronics or a game set, or is it the people around you that you've placed a very high value on? I'm obviously not here to cast any mental judgments, and I am learning and changing my own thinking even day by day by day as we go. And I am learning that the things that even a year ago I would have considered very valuable actually hold no real value for me anymore. Yes, I enjoy my TV because of the entertainment that I can share with my family and the laughs that we have together and the laughs that we share together, but it's actually the laughs that we share together and the time that we share together. It's not the TV, and it's not the whatever the show or movie is that we're watching. It's that time together with the people that are most precious to me. And even saying it that way indicates the value that I'm placing on those people. The meaning that I am assigning to those people is that they are precious to me. I could give up all my guitars and all my other stuff, and as long as I still have those people, then that's really the cool thing. So let me just ask, when you take a look around you, what do you see that up to now you have not really placed much value on it, or you've not assigned it a meaning as, hey, this is valuable? Or what is it that up to now you've kind of overlooked or not really even paid attention to? One of the coolest exercises I've run into lately is from A Course in Miracles, where the idea is to simply calmly look around and notice things, not to determine whether we like them or not, not to cast any value or meaning on them in that moment, but to simply start by looking around calmly and looking around basically at everything around and taking notice of each thing that's around. Maybe it's the table or the carpet or your own feet or your socks or your shoes or whatever it might be, but to simply look around and notice things. And then the next day's exercise after that was to simply look around and notice things and then tell yourself, I like this, I enjoy this, and assign it a positive meaning. Not super overboard kind of a positive meaning, but just a little positive meaning. I like this, I value this kind of a thing. And do that for each thing that comes into notice. One of the things I'm learning as I do this exercise over and over is I'm starting to notice things in a way that I never did before. And I'm starting to appreciate everything that I have in a way that I've never appreciated it before. And I'm starting to be grateful for the things that I have and the joy they bring me, or the way they make my life easier, or the way they make my living space more pleasant to be in. And yes, those are all value judgments. That's the meaning that I have assigned. So why don't you just try it out a little bit for yourself? Take some time and look around and see everything that's around you, and start off by realizing it has no meaning of its own. It's only got the meaning you give to it. And then after a day or two, look around at those things again and start assigning them meaning in a way that brings you gratitude for those things, or joy that they are there, or brings you delight in your soul that they are there. And until next time, I hope you have a wonderful day or evening or night, whenever you're listening. If you find some value in the podcast, please share it with a friend. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And we'll talk to you next time.